Amen. All right, this morning I do want to continue with you in Proverbs. This will be the last Sunday on this chapter, Proverbs chapter 6, and we're going to begin reading in verse 16. If you will, please stand with me in honor of God's Word. Proverbs 6, beginning in verse number 16. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to Him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, and feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. Father, we thank You for grace and mercy upon our lives, because, Lord, none of us are innocent in Your sight. But You have loved us, seeing the potential that we have in You. And through a new life in You, with a new hope reborn. And Father, we thank You for that. But we do plead forgiveness where we fail in everyday life. Father, we come today to grow and to learn and to be strengthened in Your Word. And I pray, Father, that we have seen these things You have shown us. And we have seen it, how it is in our life, and are doing all that we can in Your strength to remove it. We want to be Your people. We want to love You as You have loved us. And we want to love each other as You have called us to love one another. To honor You, to honor Your sacrifice, and to share the hope that You give. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be seated, please. Abominations. Abominations in the eyes of God. And we have taken a look at all of these things that are listed. And now we're at this last one. And it's that thing that I guess people really avoid more than anything else. And it's talking about what happens within the body of believers. That there are people who can come into the church and cause trouble, discontent, discord. Why is it that these things happen in the body of believers? Is it because we have the old man or the old woman still alive and pushing us to have our way and to have our ideas and to have it just that way alone? God doesn't like discord. He wants everything to be in unity, to be done in a sense of unity and love one for another. Now that doesn't mean we always have to agree. And I've shared this over and over and over again. We don't have to always agree about everything. But we do have to move forward together. Because it's God's church. It's God's work. It's God's building. It's God's grounds. It's God's money. It's all God's. And we are just stewards. And we need to be good stewards. And we need to honor God in the things we do. We need to honor Him in our life and how we treat one another, how we speak to one another, how we honor each other and our neighbors. And God is calling us to see these things in our lives. What makes an abomination what it is in His eyes? I don't want to be one who sows discord among brethren. How many of you woke up this morning, that's the first thing you said, I can't wait to get to church and start some trouble today? I know there's a few. But none of us really, when we get down to it, when the rubber meets the road, we don't, any one of us, want to be pointed out or recognized as that person who causes discord. We want to be someone that is recognized as promoting God's will. And you know, sometimes the line gets blurry, doesn't it? Am I promoting God's will? I think I am, but when does it quit being God's will and start being our own will? And that's where we've got to learn to focus and to see Okay? Because if we can't learn to see and distinguish, then we begin to become one who causes discontent. And that's not what we're here for. We're not taught to bring discontent. We're taught to bring unity and love and to move together because we are honoring God as He has honored us. As He has honored us. Well, what drives someone to be so discontent, with even within a church, that they bring discord? What is it that is the annoying factor? What makes someone indignant about the things that are happening in the church or about the way God is trying to move in the church and they bring discord? What is it that gets within someone that motivates them to be that kind of person? Well, if we had to identify characteristics that are involved with these things, I would suggest that there's three things primarily that are happening in the lives of those that are discontent and causing discord among brethren. The first I would tell you is envy. And then second I would tell you is jealousy. And then third, and this is the biggest of them because it motivates everything, it's ego. How many of you have ever had an experience with ego? These things do not make us what God wants us to be. These things are not what moves us to be what God wants us to be. And these are the things that can break a church down. Even a church. It's not just one person with another. This is one person against a body. I have seen a body dissolve into despair, lack of hope, because one person had ego and envy and jealousy and wanted things their way and not the church way because their idea of the church was better. And this is not what God is calling us to be. These are the kinds of things that push Cain to kill his brother. You say, that's not a fair comparison. I'm telling you, it is. Because how many people have walked out of churches and said, I'll never go back? There's nothing but hypocrites. I can be a hypocrite at home all day, 7 days, 24 hours a day. I can be like that and stay at home. And that's not what we're called to be in the church. We are called to come together and to be a family. Proverbs 6:14, which we have moved past and haven't talked about, but we're going to talk about it right now. Listen to what it says. Wicked heart is filled with perversity and devises evilly continually, sowing discord. Ego, jealousy, envy, it's all part of an evil and wicked heart, and it pushes them to continually do evil things because it's evil things that bring discord. How many of you have ever read the Bible and it said good things bring discord? I've never seen that in Scripture. I've seen where good people had differing opinions and even had arguments. But God's will still moved forward, and God's Word still moved forward. Things didn't fall apart. Even when Paul and Barnabas had a big argument about what was going to happen on the mission trip and they split, now God's got two missionaries on the field, not just a pair. And more people heard the gospel and more people came to know Christ. But in the body of the church, when we have discord, it breaks apart and people leave. They disappear. They go find another church. They go find this. They go find their couch where they're most comfortable. And nobody's growing and nobody's honoring each other and nobody's loving God the way God has called us to love in those situations. We've got to learn to deal with the wickedness within our own hearts that motivate us to bring discord. Discontent. And the church is not immune. How many of you know this? The church is not immune. Let me tell you, from the very foundation of the church, when the blocks were being laid for the church, John the Baptist and Jesus, we already find what discord, discontent, jealousy, envy, ego, what it's going to look like. Jesus is talking in Matthew. He says, "For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. And the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a wine bibber, a friend to tax collectors and sinners." You can't make this person happy. You got one that's living in the wilderness, stripped down to the bare essentials, preaching the good news of the kingdom to come. And they say he's got a demon. And the Christ himself is on the scene, and he's befriending and loving and caring and sitting down with all of the people, even those rotten tax collectors. He's a glutton and a wine bibber. Well, what does your church look like? What do you want it to be? If you just want it to be you, stay home. Because God is calling us all to come together in unity and to love each other beyond our differences. And we have to learn to recognize. Christ is giving this example. He's saying to us, there's something wrong with our perceptions. We're not focusing on what God wants. We're focusing on what we want. In fact, he finishes that by saying, wisdom is justified by her children. And in both of those examples, when you think about it, John the Baptist and Jesus, they both had different approaches to their ministry. So let me ask you a question, church family. What defines in your mind what church ministry should look like? Because if it's anything other than God himself, you've got it wrong. Because God defines ministry. And God assigns people to have different kinds of ministry. John the Baptist had a ministry and he did it perfectly. Jesus himself had a ministry and he did it perfectly. And we can't tell either one of them that they did it wrong, because they did it the way God assigned it. And it's the same in our churches today. What is it about churches? People, Paul talks about it. He says, I'm of Apollos. I'm of Paul. And Paul said, did I die for you? Was I crucified for your sins? No. Jealousies, envies, egos, they have no place in the church. They have no place in the church. And we need to understand God is directing ministry. We come together and we talk about what the ministry can look like, what we hope it will be, how we envision it will grow. We're going to do that tonight. But that doesn't mean it has to be bottled in or boxed in to just that vision. Because I can tell you what, God can break the box walls down. He's got a big foot. You ever seen God try to fit in a box? Doesn't work. He tries to put his foot in first and then just the box is gone. Squished. Y'all know what squished is, right? Some of you say squished. I say squished. He just takes it out. It's over. It's done. Get rid of the box. There is no box with God. We have to learn to see how God is doing it. And we have to learn to get on board with God. Because when we quit getting on board with God, the ministry breaks down. It just breaks down. It can't be what God wants it to be. So you know what happens? Israel wandered in the desert for 40 years because they would not let God have his work in their lives. He said, okay, walk around in the desert for a while till you figure it out. And all of that generation had to wander in the desert for 40 years until the last of that generation died. And now the next group comes in and they're tired of the desert, by the way. You know that? Isn't it a shame when you see a church body have to get tired of being in the desert before they're ready to take a move, but the other generation had to be gone first? One thing I've seen in churches, and it's not Florida town I'm talking about, but just in churches as I was growing up, words that you hear in the churches, "We never did it that way." Well, I'm happy for you. Okay, I really am happy for you. And it worked for you in that way. But that way's gone. Those days are over. I remember growing up in the church, and I might offend somebody with this, and I don't mean to. I just want to tell you how we get too focused and narrow-minded about God and His ways. Talking about the King James Bible. Well, it was good enough for Paul. It's good enough for me. My friends, Paul never spoke Old English. It didn't happen. Paul didn't read the King James Bible. And I say this because I want you to understand, from God's words in the original language, there is no perfect translation from one nation to another. And the King James Bible isn't my salvation. It's God that's my salvation. And His Word is alive. He has a living Word. It transcends generations. It transcends all these different languages and the translations that go with it. And we have to understand. If we want to get back to reading what God wrote, then let's get back to Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic. And how many of y'all would like that? I had a hard time with French. How does it go? Hablé français? No? You see? I have a hard time with English words. Discord, though, it shows up in so many ways. Sometimes without intention, but sometimes there's motivation behind it. Here's another example, because I want you to understand that the church is not immune, and people that carry discontent and discord with them have always been with the church, and they always will be until God calls us home. We just need to learn to see it. They are those among us who still envision how their church should be. And there are those who envision how they can be served by the church rather than serve the church. And that's where the understanding and the ability to see becomes really blurred. Is what we're getting from the church, or what are we giving to the church? Because we're not here to be served by the church. We help each other. We are family. We love one another. But the church is here to serve. And God gives that mission. And we have to be able to see it and be motivated by the right things. Listen to the motivation in this example. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" This he said not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put into it. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not always have." You see the motivation on what's happening here, and it begins with this question, why? When you begin to have discontent, it has some kind of question that precedes it. And generally you will find it will begin with why. Why didn't we do it this way? Why did you do that? Why wasn't I consulted? Why? Why? What is the motivation behind asking a question that begins with why? Are we trying to solve a problem? Are we trying to bring discontent? This could have been sold. We could have got a lot of money out of that. We could have done so much for the poor. You hear what Jesus has to say about this? Let her alone. Because her heart is focused on me. She has been waiting for the day of my burial, and this is her offering to me. But we know that Judas wasn't concerned about feeding or helping the poor. John clearly tells us what the motivation was for Judas. He had the money box, and he used to just take from it whenever he wanted. But it sounds good, though. We could have done so much more of a ministry with this money. It sounds good, though. Until you know the motivation. Until you know the heart. We have got to learn, as a body of believers, individually, we have got to learn to focus on God and His will. And if a question that begins with that word, why, has to be asked, okay, let's ask it. But let's be careful on the motivation behind it. Let's ask God if it's a question we need to ask. What is our intention? What is our purpose? What is God doing through this? You see, there are so many things that can go wrong when we get involved with ego and jealousy and envy, and we put our ideas first. Y'all, I've got lots of ideas about what church should be. How about you? God's not always said, Joel, okay, we're going to do it that way. Has He done that with you? He said, okay, we're going to do it that way every time? God likes to see us grow. God likes to see us experience life to its fullest with Him. Not the way of the world, but the way of God. God wants us to grow in joy. But He wants you to understand. He put all of that in every one of us. And so we're going to have some differing opinions and some ideas that won't line up. And we've got to come together and see how they match and see if they're going in the right direction or the wrong direction. We have to see. We have to test that spirit. How many of you remember hearing that? Test the spirits to see if they are from God. That's our own desires as well. Our own ideas. You know what? If somebody likes your idea and they build on it and make it better and it moves forward, hey man, we all win. We all win. If that's what we're here to do. I ain't figured out what I'm here to win yet. I'm just trying to finish the race. How many of you realize we're in a race? I'm just trying to get to that point where I can hear those words. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You notice He doesn't finish that with, I'm so glad you were perfect along the way. But you finished the race. You were faithful. You were a good... Somebody help me say this word. You were a good and faithful servant. Servant. Well, that's where we're at. That's where every church is at. Asking itself, hopefully, every day as an individual and whenever together as a body, how am I serving? How are we serving? And is it God or is it self? Because if we're serving self, we're building discontent and discord. And some people might not ever say a word. And that's fine. Some others will. And that's okay too. But either way, we have got to be God's children. And being children are hard. I want to tell you a story about when I was a kid. Y'all going to love this. My mom used to take me off to a daycare when I was young. I mean, I was Hot Wheel young, you know? I'm on Hot Wheel cars when they were back in the late 60s, early 70s, Hot Wheels. How many of y'all remember Hot Wheels? Woo, boy, there was a Hot Wheel that they had come out with. It was called a banana car. Y'all remember that? A little split size, yellow. I love that Hot Wheel, that banana car. I'm at the daycare and I've got another bunch of kids out there, and this one boy comes in, he's got Hot Wheels. He wanted mine. I wanted his banana car. So we traded. We traded. Kids trade things. You ever trade anything as a kid? Well, he took his Hot Wheel home with him, his new Hot Wheel, and I took mine home, but the next day I brought mine back and was playing with it. He didn't bring his back, and he wanted the banana car back. And he told that lady, I had his Hot Wheel. And she tried to take it from me. And then I was a real good church member. I took that Hot Wheel and I threw it over the fence where there's a big old German Shepherd. I said, go get it. Now, y'all think I'm kidding. This is true. Guess what happened? Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. It wasn't good. I got a whooping. And nobody cared that we traded and I didn't get mine back. You know what? God's not going to care if we don't honor Him the way we should. And things fall apart in front of us and around us. He's going to hold us accountable. And sometimes being a servant means just giving up the Hot Wheel. And letting the jealousies and the envies and the egos go. We've got to learn to do it. We've got to learn to honor God. And to live for God. And to be servants of God. And of each other. That's what God's calling us to do. And to be. And I'm challenging us. Every one of us, myself included, to be fully what God wants us to be. It's hard. It's hard. From as long as I can remember to even now, it's hard. But my goal is not myself. It's God. And to be what He wants me to be. And that's what our goal should be together. I'm calling us all to be everything God wants us to be. And by this, they will know that you are my disciples, that you have love one for another. Even as I have loved you, so you should love one another. Amen and amen. Do you know Jesus as Lord and Savior? If you don't, you don't have any hope. You don't have a real life to look forward to. And I'm telling you today that in Christ you can find hope and joy and life eternal. And you can find fun being in His house and part of His body. And you can find and see things and grow and share with the world how good God is to you. And so I'm asking you today, if you don't know Christ as Lord and Savior, will you come today? Because this is the time that we have. I can't promise you another minute. I can't even promise you the next breath. But I can tell you this, as long as I have breath and you have breath and we are right here, I can promise you I will meet you here at the altar if you are seeking Christ. I will help you in that journey because He's called us all. Will you come while there's time? Father, I thank you so much for this day. Lord, I thank you that you have loved us and cared for us. Lord, you have been so good to us, more than any of us deserves. And I pray, Father, in this time we have honored you. And Lord, strengthen us against ourselves. Strengthen us to be your servants and your ministers. And help us, Father, to love as you have taught us to love. And we ask it to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Will you come while there's time?